What's up, everybody? I'm Matt Cerrone. This is SNY's Meet the Mets cast. I'm here with Steve Hofstetter and Robert Brender. We're going to talk about everything that is or isn't going on and in Orlando at the MLB winter meetings. Guys, how are you doing? Steve, what's going on? How are you tonight?
I'm good. I went to the Knicks game last night, saw them win in overtime, and actually got a chance to hang out with Conforto for a while.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. So how did he look? Because he looks very scrawny, which makes sense. He's coming off surgery, but I mean, what'd you chit-chat about?
You know, he looked like a baseball player. You know, he looked like Conforto is supposed to look, I think. You know, he wasn't walking around in like a workout uniform. I mean, it was right. Kind of cold here. But yeah, you know, we just chit-chatted for a while. You know, I know better than to be like, so tell me about your recovery.
Right.
You know, but yeah, you know, he and his girlfriend, both very, very nice people. And I hadn't really ever gotten a chance to talk to him before. So, you know, we ended up basically, you know, spending halftime and, you know, part of the third quarter is kind of hanging out and talking and good dude. Definitely makes me root for him even more.
Absolutely. Rob, what's going on with you? How you doing?
I just can't believe Steve took his eyes off poor Porzingis so we could talk to Conforto. Who the heck cares about Conforto? Porzingis was dominating last night.
He was, and I saw that, and it was fun, dude. I had good seats. I actually, it was crazy because I walked in and I saw Mariano Rivera. Talked to him for like a second.
Nice.
Take the elevator.
Wow,
Odell
you.
Beckham is there, and then on the way out, I talked to Magic Johnson. And the craziest part is I'm a real Met fan. And so I'm like, I think Mariano was probably the least important of the people I talked to.
Right.
Like, I think he's the one I cared about the least.
That's amazing.
How did you get those tickets is what I want to know.
Yeah,
is it the Garden?
Night,
you can't get access to those people.
I get to go as a guest of the Garden twice a year. So that's a lot of fun.
Whoa.
Yeah,
whoa. Mr. I've got pull.
You know, you have a very unsuccessful TV show that nobody watches, and you know, and sometimes that leads to stuff.
Perfect.
So let's dive into the hot stove stuff. I guess right off the bat, I mean, did either of you guys think the Mets were going to get Yelich? I mean, was that something that, or Ozuna, I should say, like, was that something anybody was waiting for?
Steve, you want me to start this one? Because I've got quite a rant on this.
Yeah,
one.
I bet you
I've got a quick one, so I'll bury my quick one real quick here. I would have liked it. I did not think it was going to be a thing. And so this is one when, you know, when I heard it wasn't happening, I was like, all right, that's what I thought.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. I absolutely would have thought that the Marlins, and I still think that the Marlins would trade any player to any team, period, if they're getting the best return at this point. I don't think the National League East had anything to do with this. I think this had to do with two things. They already were familiar with the Cardinals farm system after talking about the Giancarlo Stanton potential trade that wound up falling through because he nixed it. So they knew the pieces that they already wanted from that system. It's a much better farm system than it probably gets credit for just in general. Forget the Mets farm system. It's just a good system, period. And they love that pitcher, Sandy Alcantara, right? So they wanted him for Stanton. They were happy to get him, I'm sure, for Ozuna. That's number one. Number two, the Mets farm system stinks.
Yep.
It stinks, period. So who are you going to beat out, especially a team that has pieces like the Cardinals have in their minor league farm system, to get a player like Ozuna? Even if you want him, and yeah, I think the Mets should have maybe tried. I would hope they called at least. I would imagine they probably did call the Marlins at some point this offseason to ask about several pieces, maybe Ozuna included. But ultimately, if you're the Marlins, at this point, you don't have to dump salary. This isn't like Stanton. People have been saying, well, they got nothing for Stanton, so now all of a sudden the Mets are supposed to give up everything they have for a guy like Ozuna who's not quite as good. No, it doesn't work that way. Stanton had a huge contract attached to him. Ozuna does not. He's controllable for two more years, just like Yelich is controllable for five more years. And yes, you're going to have to give up a ton of good prospects to get those guys. And ultimately, that's why it played out the way it did.
Yeah. So what about Yelich? I mean, let's just go back to the Marlins with Ozuna in those talks. Like, to me, I feel like you're 100% right with the Cardinals, right? Like, they were familiar. They already had a deal in place. They had one with the Giants too. It seems to me like the natural fit, you know, was one of those two teams. And so I the Giants just seem like such a perfect landing spot for Machado if the Orioles actually want to trade him, that if they're willing to give up those prospects to get Stanton or willing to give up prospects to get Yelich, like, it just seems like they'd be willing to give up prospects to get Machado, even though it's a one-year thing. Because it seems like a place that he might land anyway, like, even as a free agent. Like, it just, you know, you could sort of envision it. So, I wonder if they're going to make a push for him at this point. Like, they got to do something.
That'd be the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't know. You think Angelos would trade him to the Yankees? He's such
an egomaniac. No. No way in heck that he's trading him to the Yankees. That would never happen. What I mean is he's going to sign there as a free agent next year anyway. Yeah. I think he might. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, well, you know, that lineup is not strong enough. I think they really need.
They need.
But as far as Yelich goes, Yelich is the perfect fit for the Giants. But if you read, I'm sure you were on Twitter today looking at the beat reporters, most of the Giants beat reporters were saying that the Giants, every time they've been reaching out and asking about Yelich, they were shot down. And, of course, you've also seen the reports, both you guys, I'm sure, that now the Marlins don't want to trade Yelich.
I was under the impression.
Which is complete nonsense.
Nah, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I might.
Oh, I think it's nonsense.
Really? Why?
Yeah, because you don't hang out in the – there's no reason to hang on to Yelich. You're not going to compete. You don't have fans anyway. So this idea that, well, we need a reason to have people come out to the ballpark. No, you don't. You don't have people come out to the ballpark. Period. So
but what about all the Yelich jerseys that they said? No, I'm kidding.
Oh,
like, he's
right.
not.
Yeah, what was that?
Look, like, and I like Christian Yelich as a player. I've heard good things about him as a person. Like, I think I would love to have him on the Mets. But the idea that you, like, keep him to build a brand new franchise around him is, I believe the technical term for that is poppycock.
Yeah, let me give you the market reason why you don't trade him right now. This is what I think. This is my read. Is that if I were Jeter, I'd hang on to him for a year, and here's why. Cuz you just milked the Cardinals dumped their system to get Ozuna. The Yankees traded their guys to get Stanton. The Giants are going to do something. That's all going to shake out. A year from now, you're going to have a massive free agent class asking for huge money. If you can then shop Yelich with his whatever he's got, 4 years, $30 million or whatever, $45 million or whatever he's got left on his deal at that point, like that's a bargain. Like then you can reopen all those teams, all those prospects that people have, and make your move then. Like that's
Two things that stand out about that idea, though. Number one, he's going to hate himself. He's going to hate life.
Yeah,
he's not going to want to be there on a daily basis.
Do your job. He'll do his job. He'll be fine.
Yes and no. Everyone, we're all human. He's going to go out there on the field. He'll do his job. And he's a great guy, by the way. Tremendous guy. And I'm sure he'll be a stand-up dude. He's not going to ask publicly, I wouldn't think, to be traded or make a big stink over the fact that he's still there. But still, you know, I know, he knows, everyone knows he wants out of there now. So – and he's going to have no line of protection whatsoever anymore. So the chances that he puts up great numbers next year, not all that great all of a sudden. Now that middle of the order doesn't look so good. Plus, you take a chance on injury, Matt. So what happens if he gets hurt next year? Now you can't trade him the following year.
It's the gamble. It's the bet. That's the bet you're making.
Also, I also think you trade him as soon as possible when you have the most control. When he's worth the most.
True. It's true, but it's also what's out there.
I agree with Matt in this regard,
though. It's the deal that's out there. That's the thing.
Yeah, four or five years, I don't think would make a big difference when it comes to a trade. But what I do think makes 100% of the difference is the fact that if you are starting a rebuild, you just go all the way. You go all the way.
Yeah.
You bottom this thing out. Holding Yelich long term and building around him, quote unquote, doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Same thing with Realmuto, who's an excellent player. Same thing with Boer. It's time to let those guys go. Make this thing a 120 loss program next year and get as many prospects as you can right now.
Yeah, go for the record, you know?
Whatever. Doesn't matter in the end. It really doesn't.
No, it's cool. I agree with you. Well, I agree with you. And also, because not only then are you trading for prospects, you're also getting a higher draft pick. So, you know, there are other reasons to lose for a couple of years while you're building things up. You're creating a ton of roster room to see who's going to be good, to give those guys true shots. And, you know, and he's going to be worth the most. But I would actually understand if they waited till the deadline to see if any teams got desperate. Like, because he might be worth more to a team at the deadline than he is in the offseason.
Yeah, people pay so little for offense comparatively, you know, during the season. But anyway, I think we got to talk Mets here. And I think what's funny is that we've been talking for 12 minutes and it's been about everybody else. So I think that says everything about.
And we finally have news.
Yeah, I know. And they actually made a move. So, I mean, let's just get to it and talk about Swarzak. I mean, go ahead, Steve.
Because this is exactly the move I was talking about the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Like the idea of Sandy coming in and making a move that no one really expected but made perfect sense. this is the Neil Walker of 2017. Like, the idea, and look, he might, I mean, he's been a little up and down in his career. He was stellar last year for two different teams, mm-hmm. which is a really good sign, and threw a lot of innings and was good. But this is the kind of thing where no one was like, and maybe they'll get Swarzak. Like, this wasn't on the radar, and suddenly you're like, oh, well, that's a great move. So, you know, this is exactly the type of move I was talking about the other day.
I feel like this is actually, I know, you know, it's going to get framed in the newspapers and by media as being like, oh, they had to settle for this guy. I have a hunch, just looking at it, knowing his statistics and like looking at his stats and like reading the scouting reports and like hearing what is, you know, my favorite thing to do is when they make a deal like this, I like to go back like a couple months into the season and look at like some of their, you know, their best games, look at the quotes from the coaching staff and the player and just like see what people were saying about him then there. People were raving about him in those, they loved him. They were like, oh my God, you should be a closer, yeah. blah, 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 blah. So like, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they thought, wow, we can get this guy for 2 years. That's better than Shaw for three. We'd rather him in it. Let's just do this. And, like, if Callaway was on board, I wouldn't be surprised if this was actually a target and that the Mets were high-fiving themselves when they made this deal. The rest of us were all like, what? But, you know, I think I wouldn't be shocked if this is what they wanted, to be quite
was
honest.
Callaway, was Callaway in Cleveland in 2015?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, right. I mean, this is, yeah, exactly. He pitched for him. Like, that's, and look, he was a bust. The one thing I'm worried about is he was a complete bust for the Yankees in 2016. Mm-hmm. And so the one thing I'm worried about is, like, all of his good years have been in relatively small markets. I guess he pitched in Chicago for half a season. But, like, I'm worried. There's that, I don't know if it's a myth or not, the idea of, oh, can't handle the New York media, can't handle the big city pressure. I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, just he made news.
I usually think that that's bull. But it's just the one, because I'm like, okay, why was he so bad for the Yankees in 2016?
Because he's become a totally different pitcher since then.
Yeah, he's completely changed his game, right?
He wasn't the same guy that he is now. He became a fastball slider guy.
And his control, and that's his command and his control last year don't – it looks like – if you look at his you look at his secondary numbers, like, it looks like a completely different person.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Last year.
But I had –
it's crazy.
I was just saying that, like – what's that, Steve?
I was just saying that, like, he's been kind of up and down. Now, that said, you know, maybe he did kind of the, you know, the thing we all saw with Reed, where it's like, you get a guy who had, you know, who had a lot of potential but had some problems and then gets the right pitching coach and then suddenly lights out. So, you know.
Well, he changed completely. He's a different pitcher, and that's the reason for the success. And the strikeouts are up, the walks are down. Yep. And I was hearing we had David Stearns on MLB Network Radio today.
He loved him.
From the Winter Reads, and he loved him. I think they're a little upset. As a matter of fact, they reportedly made a 2-year offer to try to get him back. Yep. It just wasn't up to the $14 million that the Mets paid. But if you compare the Mets deal for Swarzak with the 2 years that Tommy Hunter got at $18 million from Tampa, I'll take the Swarzak deal all day, every day over that deal.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree. So and, you know, the other thing is with this Callaway's comments the other day about the closer thing, like, I think that got a little blown out of proportion. I mean, you know, I went back and looked at that and thought a little bit about it. And clearly what he's saying was, you know, if we're in a, you know, a game where we need, you know, where it's the big moment in the eighth, like, we've got Ramos, right? We'll pitch Familia in the eighth. We could throw Ramos in the ninth. Like, you know, they can switch it up because they've got guys that are capable of those high leverage situations that can kind of juggle it around and use, you know, kind of out of order. And that's okay. Right. Like, and this is just another pitcher, I think, that they can sort of throw in there into that mix. So, like, I'm really, really eager to see how this bullpen kind of plays. Cause, like, Blevins has shown too, that he can throw it. Like, obviously you can throw to lefties, but he can throw to righties. He can go an inning or, you know, like, he can stretch it out. And, like, I've talked to Jerry, I know you have too, Rob, like, he'll tell you, like, I could throw an inning and a half or two innings. Like, I can go back out there. I don't have to be one batter and leave. So if they want to, you know, if they want to do that, and, you know, I think they've got five guys that are versatile enough that they can work with. There's ground balls, there's strikeouts, there's velocity, there's touch. Like, they've got variety, which I kind of dig, and I mean, I'm very interested to see how he, Callaway, and Island together with Bonus, frankly, who I think is terrific in the bullpen, like how the three of them kind of work together with the analysis to really kind of see what they can do with this. Like, I'm eager to see how this story plays out, just from a fan.
I do want to throw I want to throw this out there, though. I really don't think the Mets should be done here as far as bullpen goes. I really think that there's another piece to go get and a bigger piece. Now, I'm just curious at this point if they're willing to go 3 years on anybody remaining because, of course, Steve's idol, Steve's favorite, Addison Reed, is still out there.
Who, by the way...
That would be amazing. Yeah.
Sorry, by the way, when I was talking to Conforto yesterday, like, that was one of the things. He's like, yeah, I really hope he comes back.
They all love him.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to give him a 3-year deal. You have to. At
absolutely.
And, so and Matt also, would know.
He also should. Like, I don't know if you know this, but he is, you know, he is the Mets' all time ERA leader with 100 plus innings.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. You're right. That's crazy.
Like, that's a pretty big deal. Yeah. And also, it's important to get a guy that the clubhouse likes.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, Matt, would they go three on him, you think?
I think they would. I just don't know that they have the money left to do that and the other things they want to do. You know, look, I think that becomes an option. And, like, who knows what they've told him or what they've talked about, because I know they've been in touch with him. It's a, you know, if they make a move and they can do some things and fill some other spots without spending a lot of cash, like, then maybe they could do that. But, you know, I had heard that they wanted two relievers, and everybody's been saying, you know, they're going to get one guy. But, you know, I think I was onto something this morning when I was talking about Kinsler and Green. Like, I think doing some, and I don't know if that's a specific one, but something along the
Kinsler's
lines.
Well, Kinsler's gone now, right?
Right, yeah.
Kinsler gone?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that deal, there's some confliction, conflicting reports back and forth. I don't know what
the story is. Confliction as a new word.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's like affliction, but you should make a shirt out of it. Confliction.
Great. Yeah, that's, well.
MMA fighters will wear it.
I'm not making fun of you, man. That is an awesome word.
I know. I think you're right. I think I got to look into that. I've been trying to name a company. Maybe I'll go with that. So there anyway, I could see where they might try to do a deal like that where you're filling two spots with one shot and you're taking on the money, but it's not, you know, what you would pay for two free agents, and like it saves a little. I don't know where that scenario is. The one I just mentioned, Kinsler and Green, like made sense to me, but I'm sure there's other things they can explore. Like if they do something like that, you know, maybe it saves money and it's not a reliever coming back they can spend on it. But I just, look, we know the deal. Like, it's obvious. Like, listen to what they're saying. Watch what they're not doing. I'm not so concerned about what the Mets are doing. It's like the moves they're not making clearly tell you that they're not, you know, that whatever the budget is, it's less than we thought. And it is what it is. So it's going to take making moves and doing things to kind of free up cash. And so that's just where they are.
Yeah but that said... I mean, that said, like, the idea of if they do get another guy like that, whether it's Addison back or someone else, like, the idea that they could have four or five guys that they know can pitch an inning allows their oft-injured starting pitchers to go five, six innings and be okay.
Yep. And they're doing an interesting – I mean, I think every team does this, but – they're doing it by inning. Like, I think they've and I don't know the numbers, but I know they've allocated X amount of innings for their starting rotation with a lot of what we heard in the beginning of the offseason about how they're going to kind of trim off of what starters are throwing. So they've got a number that they need to fill from the bullpen, you know, in terms of innings for the year. And I think my understanding is they're going to probably carry eight relievers, or eight pitchers, which is, you know, usually you take seven. So, like, if that's the case... you need another, you know, someone else has to be out there. It can't just be, you know, your scrap heap AAA guy that you're just bringing up to fill innings. Like, that's not what that extra pitcher is. Like, you got to acquire, there's got to be somebody in there of legitimacy. So, like, I wouldn't be shocked if they try to, either they're going to do like we're talking about, or you're going to see them in January take on, you know, a variety of people on minor league deals and roll the dice and hope somebody emerges. But like either way, it's got to be somebody in that role that they can count on. It can't just be, you know, like maybe it's Fernando Rodney, like they're you know, these things or whatever. Like it's,
oh my
it's
God.
Gonna have somebody
can't do it with Nicasio now. Yeah, he's gone to the Giants, right?
But you know,
or Seattle, I'm sorry.
But I feel like they're going to need that other name. They're going to need somebody else in the mix because they're going
I like your idea, by the way. From yesterday with the Yankees, you're talking about Harvey. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Harvey alone would necessarily get this done. But they were so down, the Yankees were on Betances last year. Yep. And I don't know that they'll trade him because his value is so low. But similar to Harvey, you know, you sort of roll the dice and you get rid of him when he's making no money. That's tough to do. But at the same time, maybe a change of scenery works for Betances. And again, the Mets and the Yankees, they're not great trade partners anyway, but maybe, just maybe, because that's the perfect fit. You know, you're looking at a guy that could bounce back and be a dominant closer, and the Yankees certainly don't need him with what they have in their bullpen. No. So
could you imagine could you imagine him throwing to the 7th, 8th, and 9th hitter on the Phillies? Like, you know.
Yeah,
you
could certainly,
yeah, right. So, I mean, but I don't see them doing that. That's not a Cashman move. Just not.
No, it's not. No, it's definitely not.
So anyway, so we now have 5 minutes left to buzz through the rest. You know, so the Kinsler thing's not an issue. I wanted to get your take, both of you, on Todd Frazier, because like I wrote a lot about him in the beginning of the offseason. Now there's, you know, some reports. I don't know what in the world curious, if not aggressive, means from Joel Sherman in terms of the Mets' interest in Todd Frazier. But I mean, I like him on the team. I just hate to think that, like, that's the big offensive move.
Well, that would be the big offensive move if they sign him. I don't love it, and I haven't loved it in a long time. I just am not a big Frazier guy. That's one-dimensional. He's very two-dimensional, I guess. He's good, decent defensively, and he gives you power, and that's it. And I guess he's a good clubhouse guy, so maybe we'll give him a third dimension for that. So, but he's not really a great all-around player at this point. Certainly not a great all-around offensive player. You get some versatility, though. He could play first. He could play third.
How many platoon guys are the Mets going to have, by the way? I mean,
How
many platoon guys are the Mets going to have?
Remember, by the way, I'm the guy who said that they should get him at the beginning of last year.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that was my prediction.
Do you want him now?
Now, at the time, I said that because you do the analysis and you go, okay, what two positions are the most injured on the Mets? And you're like, all right, well, David Wright and Lucas Duda combined to miss a full season of games every year. So why not have a guy who can play both? Mm-hmm. Now, it's not as important this year. But it's still important considering, like, you know, Dom Smith, we don't know what's up with him yet. And so having a third baseman that could fill in at first is not a horrible idea. I would be fine with Frazier. He's a clubhouse guy. Some people say, like, oh, well, don't overestimate the importance of that. I say don't underestimate the importance of that.
I agree.
The reason the Mets were so good in 2015 mm-hmm. is because they wanted to play there. Everybody was having a great time. They loved being part of that team. That culture has shifted big time, and we need it back. And so I think a guy like Frazier is a good fit.
Yeah,
I would definitely rather have Moustakas. I'm telling you right now, it's not even close.
Yeah, Rob,
look,
and
I'm
I
not
were,
saying, Rob and I'm I were not talking last I'd rather, night. Right, but I'm saying that I would be happy with Frazier.
Rob and I were talking last night about the difference between Moustakas and Walker, which is basically, I'm going to assume that Neil Walker's taking a 2-year, $22 million contract, let's say. So if Moustakas, who's asking for $5 million, ends up settling for like $3 million because, you know, the Giants do something else, things shift, and like he's still out there, for another year and another $5 million a year, like I'd much rather Moustakas at third and put Cabrera at second. And like, that's, you know, that's not completely unrealistic.
It's
not.
It's the right move is what it is.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they wouldn't consider it. They'd be out of their mind.
Because you're not getting Moustakas for 3 years right now. But you might. Like,
no, but you might get him for 4.
Yeah. Right. That's true, too. And you're right. It's not like David Wright. I mean, look, I love the guy, but he's not, you know, he's not. First of all, he's not playing 3 years from now or 4 years from now, regardless. Like, that we know. So
I wouldn't bank on him playing ever. Period.
Right. I don't know. So anyway, so that's that. So, but I get Frazier. I'm with Steve on this. I actually think that leadership void is important, and it's not so much the identity of the team or loving to play for the team. They got a lot of young players and people that haven't been through the battle, and like, it's New York, it's summer, it's hot. If you're contending, like, you know, you got to have those guys, and like Frazier did that for the Yankees this year. They had that exact situation. Like, you need those guys to come in, you know, and tell guys, like, dude, you got to do this, you got to do that, pace yourself, do that, blah, 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 blah. Like, they provide that sort of guidance. It's not so much, it's leadership, you know, and like that.
Can I throw one more thing out there before you go off about Frazier?
Sorry.
If you bring, no, it's okay. If you bring in Moustakas, and I keep going back to him because it's the best. If you go back to Moustakas and you bring him in, it makes so much more sense than spending that money on Jay Bruce.
Oh, God.
I mean, I know that they're in love with this idea of bringing back Jay Bruce, which makes no sense.
They're in love with the idea of paying somebody one salary for two jobs. That's what they're in love with.
It's and that's fine, but what you could do by bringing in Moustakas, and we talked about this yesterday, and it's so important, is to get Cabrera off third. He doesn't belong at third base. At second base, maybe. At third base, no chance. He's not a third baseman. He's never played there, really. Move him to second base where he belongs, and he's making no money. So, in essence, you're filling two spots with one move.
Yeah.
Moving Cabrera there makes sense. And Conforto, and you know, he was fine out in center field for a little while.
He's not a center fielder.
You're built on pitching. Go win with pitching. And bring in a center fielder that can go catch the baseball.
Well, those are
the moves I'm making.
He just doesn't hit very well.
You can't hit, right? Yeah. You need an actual center fielder. I could find 20 guys in the minor leagues and go catch the ball better than he probably even can in center field.
Yeah, but
they can't hit a lick, and they'll never be in the big leagues. You know what I mean? Lorenzo Cain, the two. Right, there's one. Bingo. Exactly. Was he a cool guy? The two dudes they have to get are Cain for center field and Moustakas for third, and it solves all these problems. Stop trying to invest in Jay Bruce because he might be able to play a little bit of first base before Dom Smith comes up. It doesn't make sense. Who cares? I just hate that move. Sorry.
I don't know. No. Steve, what do you feel about that?
I'm exhausted.
They're not going to do it. The answer is they're not going to do it. I mean, that's it.
I think that is, I mean, we can talk about, you know, trading for Mike Trout also if we want to. But these
are actual guys who are going to be affordable.
I know. I'm just saying that, you know, that is not something I think is going to happen.
You're right. Because most Met fans, their argument online is, well, we could, like you just said, it's a dream. It's a complete dream. It's only a dream because Mets won't invest.
I'll tell you
that's the only reason it's a dream.
Well, okay. But here's the thing. Realistically, honestly, I mean, you can run the math if you want, but like I've done it. Cain and Moustakas minus Harvey is in the budget.
Right.
So if you want to just trade Harvey for nothing and then, I don't know, figure out your fifth starter or put your fingers together and hope for the best, like at least you're scoring runs too. So like, you legitimately could do that. Like, they could afford that. That's within that range given the Swarzak acquisition. So like,
hey, Swarzak used to start.
Yeah, it's true. But no, seriously. So then, I mean, you'd have Moustakas at third. You'd have Rosario at short. You'd have, I don't know who's playing. I guess Cabrera's playing second, right?
Bingo.
Dom's at first. And then you have Kane in center. You'd have Conforto and Cespedes. I mean, like, that's
Flores
a legit lineup.
Flores backing up.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a good lineup, and that's what they need to do.
Yeah,
a winning move.
I don't mind that so much. I just don't see them doing it because I don't know what Sandy Alderson's I'm starting to sour on him, and this is going to come to a head at the end of this at the end of this offseason if things play out the way they're going, because I've done a lot of talking this last month with other front offices and people like that are moving up the ladder that like I've known for years. And it is it's remarkable what's going on in some of these other teams that the Mets are not doing. And I don't know, like, I don't want to be ageist about it, but like Sandy's been around the block a while and he's got his way of doing things. And I think the game has moved a little bit and it worries me watching the way these other teams are operating and the Mets aren't doing it. And you know, if things shake out the way they're going right now, like, they're going to need to consider that. And these are the kind of things.
I think they're so scared to get rid of him.
Yeah, these are the kind of deals you do, because if it doesn't pan out, you trade Kane. If they're a bust, you trade Kane next year for prospect. You do what the Yankees just did.
Bingo. But they don't take chances. Yeah. They're not creative, and they don't take chances.
Anyway.
Hold on a second. All right.
Sorry, Steve. I'm sorry. This is like, now I'm just like moaning and groaning. I'm sorry.
I know you're doom and gloom.
I know.
Right?
I can't help it.
But like, you're letting Mets Twitter get to you too much. Mm-mm. Look,
I'm not on Twitter at all today. I honest to God.
Just all right. Well, whatever it is in the air.
Maybe it's because
I haven't left my office in like 3 days. Maybe that's it.
People are living with low expectations. They're allowing
Hold on. Rewind a second, though. This is not a vacuum, okay?
It's not.
And I understand that you're not thrilled with the inaction right now, although I do like this Swarzak move. But the point is that, like, I have never been as excited for a Mets season as I was at the beginning of this past season. And the reason for that is because the moves in the offseason of 2016 or before 2016 and before 2017, on paper, those moves were gorgeous. And so it was every hole we needed to fill, we filled. We did it expediently. We did
they
it
had 30 corner outfielders.
No,
and
no,
I never loved that.
Hold on a second.
Let him finish.
And the idea is that we're like, okay, well, Daniel Murphy's leaving and we need a second baseman, and holy crap, we have Neil Walker, you know? And then here's a Drupal Cabrera, who, yeah, you know what, last season fell off, but 2016 was one of the big reasons we made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and here, we need some bullpen help. And okay, you know what, Tony Nodad, as I love to call him, did not work out, but on paper, it was a great move. And so there were all these moves that, like, when they made them, we were like, holy crap, this is genius. Like, no, this is way better than we thought. And so we can't just suddenly be like, he's crap, it's over, get rid of him. Because we look, the Mets made the World Series in 2015. The Mets made the playoffs after being on death row in 2016. Like, our memories cannot be this short term. Okay.
No, they are.
Give it a minute.
They are.
It's not even about short term memory. Hang on one sec. It's not about short term memory for me. It's about agreeing with you that they have a nice base of talent right now, that if they just augment it, they supplement it with some talent around it in free agency this year, they'll be good enough to get back to the World Series again. Yeah. And they need that. And they're not making the jump to doing that. And yeah, maybe they will be able to surprise us in the next few weeks. I don't expect it. You don't expect it. Matt doesn't either.
No.
And I agree with that. It could be better. It is still a better lineup today than it was in the offseason before 2015.
That's true.
And so, like, I just don't want to doom and gloom, and I know we have to go, but I want to be the voice of a little bit of hope.
To Steve's point, I am pretty sure – I've been writing Mets for 13, 14 years. I'm pretty sure I've sounded like this every single December. That's – there you go. Well, listen, guys, I appreciate it. This has been therapeutic – as usual, which is maybe what we should call
this. I'm getting my Swarzak jersey.
I'm going to pitch next year that we call this show Mets Therapy, because I feel like that's the better brand and the better thing. But because Steve, you're good with this. You really talk it down, and I like it. I appreciate it.
that's why they have us all. Yeah, but at the same time, if it was three of me, it would be ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, like, when Rob and I are on the show together, like, if you listen to last night, like, we completely conflate. Like, we just keep going. And there's nobody to walk it back. So, like, if this is helpful.
I appreciate that, but you know I don't listen to the show when I'm not on it.
Tell us what you're up to this weekend before you go. Tell what do you got going on in New York?
I'm all over New York City. You can see me at a bunch of the different comedy clubs, but the biggest show of them will be Gotham Comedy Club Tuesday the 19th at 9:30. I'm going to be on with Roy Wood from The Daily Show and Will Silvins and a bunch of really other amazing comics. So come out to see me at Gotham or any of the other places on my website. Check it out.
Excellent. I will be watching the comedy on Mets Twitter, and that's probably the extent of my. But yes, Rob, what's shaking in your world?
Nada. I've got NFL radio tonight. So I get to talk about a different sport completely.
Awesome. Well, that's good. That talk about therapy.
Yes.
Unless you're a Jets fan like me, in which case
get me away from the Mets.
Yeah. All right. Cool, guys. Listen.
No, not very good. I promise I will not talk about them at all.
Yeah. There you go. Please. we'll catch up again soon. I don't know what the plan is for us throughout the rest of the offseason, but this was fun this week. And as always, let's go Mets.